If it matters to you, let us know. Contact us now, 1850 400 964 or email focus@clare.fm.
We are also very much focused on Ireland's largest coffee morning, which is taking place right throughout County Clare this morning, and a very important event in particular to fundraise and to generate proceeds for Cathair Cailleadh Hospice. And a number of people are organising events in its aid this morning, amongst them Mary Butler of Kilshenny House, who's on the line. Good morning to you, Mary.
Hi, Gavin. How are you?
I'm very good, and thanks for joining us. You've been doing this for a long number of years.
Well, actually, Aidan has been doing it since Aidan started this in 1997, when a neighbour just asked him to do it, a once-off favour. I've just come on board in the last few years, so Aidan would have started with the granules and the boiled kettle custard creams and the marietta. We've moved on now to freshly ground coffee and some home-baked treats.
Oh, so very fancy.
It's a fantastic community day, and all the locals come out. There's a few tractors lined out there this morning, looking to see if there's any new one in case it was the person that won the lottery, but didn't spot that yet. So it's a real, all the locals come out, and you know, they bring a neighbour that can't drive, and they're fantastic. Mm. Yeah, it's wonderful, and it's so great to be part of this, you know.
Yeah, and why do you think people are so good to support it?
Well, I think, you know, there's none of us that, you know, it hasn't touched, you know, our hearts, maybe with families or relatives or a neighbour. And it's such a fantastic facility if that happens. Mm. And I just think we've got great people here in Kilshenny. They're just great to support anything that's put on for, you know, something that's worthwhile.
And I find, yeah, as well in this county that people are very quick to rally around something that looks after their own. I mean, as you mentioned, there's, yes, so few people that are untouched in some form or another that don't know somebody who received fantastic care at Cathair Cailleadh. And when you know you can give back, and no, we won't linger on this, but when you know, mm-hmm, one day it might be for yourself as well, you're, mm-hmm, very happy to support it.
Of course. Yes, indeed. Yeah, absolutely. And to be able to keep somebody, you know, in our own county is fantastic for people, yeah, visiting and everything. Yeah, it's wonderful.
So tell us what's happening there today, apart from looking at scoping out the tractors to find a lotto winner.
Well, number one, my buns that always really rise very well have kind of sunk this morning.
Ah, here, Mary.
But look, I'm covering them up with a bit of icing sugar, and they're eating them anyway. So we've just some homemade treats and coffee, and there's quite a few people have come in already this morning, and you know, you see the familiar faces that come year after year.
Very good.
And it's wonderful. Yeah, everybody's chatting and talking. It's lovely.
And going on for a few hours yet?
Yeah, we're running it until about 4, but sure, if somebody comes in after that, there's no bother. It's a village pub, so it doesn't close that early, you know?
Exactly, indeed. So no problem with that at all. And all, yeah, proceeds going to Cathair Cailleadh as well, of
Absolutely,
course.
Absolutely, yeah, indeed. Thanks Lovely very stuff. Much.
No problem, Mary. Yeah. Thank you. All the very best.
Thanks,
and well
Kevin.
Done. Cheers, all the
all
very
right,
best. Take care.
You,
bye-bye. Mary Butler there from Kilshenny House, where they're drinking coffee and eating the buns that I bet are better than Mary's describing them as. But anyway, let's see how the buns are in Milltown Malbay. Aidan Looney's on the line. He's the principal of St. Joseph's National School there. Good morning to you, Aidan.
Good morning, Gavin. How are you doing this morning?
I'm very good, and it's very good to see some of our youngest here in the county taking part in this one as well.
Yes, indeed, Gavin. We're at our coffee morning as usual for Cathair Cailleadh this morning, and I'm not sure when it started in the school, but I'd say there isn't too many years missing from the 25 that we're celebrating this year anyway. And children are great in the school, great to come and give their contribution. All the children came in this morning with their donation, and we're getting them through. We have a usual rota where we start down with the junior infants and let them up for their little treats. We bring treats in for them, and we work our way up, and finally sixth class, after their long wait, will eventually get there at some time today before 12:30.
Yeah, and get the leftovers, as you
get the leftovers. Can I just mention, while we're at it, all the people that are currently in our school hall here, they're enjoying a cup of coffee or tea, and there are some great faces that support us every year, and it's great to see them coming in from the local community, apart from our own parent body, who are great to support us in everything we do as well.
Absolutely. No,
there's great help here as well in the school, Gavin. I'd like to mention the people who have organised the getting together of the hall, the tables, chairs and all those kind of things. Or my two SNAs here, Patsy Ward and Marion Brody, give great support to this. And without them, it wouldn't run as smoothly as it is running. And my secretary as well, Trish, in the office, who you're who your coordinator has been talking to there once or twice in the last day.
No, absolutely indeed. And it's fantastic to hear about the track record in particular, Aidan, and all the years that you've done it. I mean, I won't put you in the mark for a figure, but if you add it together, it's several thousand, obviously.
It probably is, Gavin, you know, and there's great credit due to, I suppose, staff that have left the school, retired from the school here, and principals before me that agreed to run it as well, you know. And I suppose it's kind of become part of our school calendar now. And we are delighted to support Cathair Calla. And Mary Maloney, indeed, the fundraising manager down there, has been most helpful, sending us a few extra bags of coffee and all that. And we wish everybody in Cathair Calla well. Anybody that is there today as a patient, we wish them the very best today. And we wish all the staff down there the best. And we thank them for their great support of all the patients that have ever visited there from Milltown Malbay and all the other parishes around County Clare. They provide fantastic support, not only to somebody that might be in bad health, but also to the families. To the families, they give time and they give space and they give room for visitations and all that down there. So I think it's a fantastic thing that we're able to support them in this small way today by actually going in, sitting down and enjoying our cup of coffee and our chocolate biscuit, Gavin. I mean, how bad is that? You know?
Exactly. Isn't it good to have the time to do it? Look at Aidan, we wish you all the very best with it, and I hope there's plenty left for the sixth class and everybody else as well. And thanks for your time again this morning.
Thanks a lot, Gavin. Bye-bye.
All the very best. Aidan Looney there. He's the principal of St. Joseph's National School in Milltown Malbay. There's plenty more in terms of coffee mornings that are taking place. The Kilmurry Abrican Active Retirement will host their coffee day for Cathair Calla next Thursday, the 21st of September, I'm told. That'll be from 1:30 until 4:00 in Mullagh Hall. There's also a coffee morning in Kildysert, and this one is tomorrow. Sheila Hill, good morning to you.
Good morning, Gavin. How are you?
I'm good, and thanks very much for joining us. You're getting to see how everybody does it and then follow their footsteps tomorrow.
I'm on a learning curve here.
Well, tell us, give us the forward sell. Tell us why people should be going along there tomorrow.
Well, first of all, we've got a raffle as a beautiful hamper in the post office, thanks to Eileen Nealon. She is hosting it there for us. And it's €2 a strip, or 3 for a 5. Eileen is absolutely fantastic. And the other person I want to thank before I go off the line is Grace Kelly for giving us the use of her premises, which is next door to the post office. And tomorrow is pension day. So we get all our pensioners in, all our lovely people, and they have already donated with gifts, and they will come in tomorrow and have a cup of tea or a cup of coffee and sit down and have a chat, and also we'll donate again on the day.
Absolutely, yeah. And you know what, that little, for all the, sorry to cut across you, Sheila, that yep. little bit of an old, as, I mean, Aidan described it well, as sitting down and enjoying a cup of tea or a cup of coffee, but that little bit of social interaction, there's an awful lot to be said for it as well, you know, just the chat.
It's very important. And we really do have a laugh there. There is always a character. And Frankie O'Shea and Phil is Phil's husband and his sister-in-law, Frances. They're helping us out as well tomorrow in there. And they're just two comedians. We have a great day.
Very good. You're looking forward to it, though.
Oh, definitely. We're at, I think, about 19 years now.
Fantastic. And it's and we'll hear from, we'll be in Cathair Calla very shortly, and no doubt we'll hear people there thanking all of those who are hosting these coffee mornings and people like yourself who are doing it year after year after year without fail and generating such, obviously, such significant funds and such important funds for a great service as well.
Oh, it's very important. And they're all lovely inside there in Cathair Calla, and they give such wonderful care.
Absolutely. Couldn't disagree with you there at all.
Sorry?
I said I couldn't disagree with you there at all. You're 100% right. So you're on from 9:30 tomorrow morning?
9:30 tomorrow morning until 12:30. And I'd also like to say thank you to all the shops who've taken in boxes for us and to the bars.
Lovely stuff. Sheila, enjoy it. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you very much.
All the very best. Sheila Hill there in Kildysert. Their coffee morning is tomorrow night, 9:30 to 12:30. A couple of others. I mentioned these already, but I'll give them another plug. Anne Willis and Yvonne Casey hosting a coffee morning in Clare Castle at the Castle Coffee House and Eatery. That's on until about 11:30. I'm sure they won't turn your way if you're a little bit late going down. They're drinking until 3:00, a late morning in Clahanmore Cree. Martha Neenan hosting that one. And as I mentioned too earlier on, in Coolmean at the Hilltop Bar from 9:00 tonight, there's a coffee night taking place there. It's all in aid of Cathair Calla. We'll be there very shortly indeed.
If it matters to you, let us know. Contact us now, 1850 400 964 or email focus@clare.fm.
Coffee morning in Ruan Hall until 12:30 with Martha Casey and Francis O'Halloran. All are welcome. Thanks very much for sending that in to us. Keep your messages coming and I will do my very best to get to each and every one of them and tell you about all of the coffee mornings that are taking place across County Clare in aid of Cathair Calla Hospice, a facility that is so close to the hearts of so many and a facility which so many in this county are very happy to support. We're going to go there now. And our own Morning Focus producer, Fiona McGarry, is in Cathair Calla, where she's joined now by a man who knows all too well about the care that is given by some of the staff there. Fiona.
Thanks very much, Gavin. I'm here at the Cathair Calla Hospice Coffee Morning, and I'm joined now by Eugene Keane. Eugene, you're going to tell us about your own experience of coming into contact with the care provided here at Cathair Calla.
Good morning, Fiona, and thank you. I suppose my mum passed away here in March of this year, 17. She was taken into care here, I suppose, just middle of January, just after Christmas. I suppose from her point of view, she had a great affection for Cathair Calla. Her uncle John here was the caretaker in the grounds for years. And I suppose as kids, we were brought out here to visit him, I suppose, every now and again. And we all very familiar with Cathair Calla. Three of us, I think, out of seven, were born in Cathair Calla. So it was, I suppose, some place that we were very familiar with. I suppose at Christmas, when my mom started to deteriorate from her illness, discussions took place around about where we would bring her, and should we bring her home and care for her there? And I suppose with the extended family as it was, and everyone wanting to be part of that, it was important and a big decision for us. And the decision was taken to take her here to Cathair Calla, to the hospice, and it proved to be a very positive decision. And after she passed, we would have looked back at that as being a very positive. Positive thing to have done for her at that time.
Take me back, Eugene, to the first contact with Cathair Calla. As you said, the decision, there was a little bit of debate and discussion before the decision was made, but tell me about taking the first step and reaching out to Cathair Calla.
Yeah, I suppose my sisters, Anya, Aideen and Sinead, they were very much involved in the immediate care of my mom at that time. And in that decision, they would have made some phone calls and talked to some people here. But immediately after that, once the first contact was made, it actually happened very, very easily. And her transition from the Galway Clinic, where she was getting some excellent care at that time, was proved very easy. And I suppose the environment then when we arrived, everything just, I suppose the energy and the place was very good, and the staff were excellent.
Mm-hmm. How did she feel herself, Eugene, at that point? As you said, Cathair Calla was a place she would have known for several reasons, first of all.
Yeah, I suppose the realisation for her at that time that she wasn't going to get better was a big shock to her, especially, and also to the rest of us. I suppose she was concerned about, I suppose, meeting people, friends, families, extended friends and family, and I suppose communicating with them, knowing what she knew and I suppose what everybody was starting to understand at that time. She was satisfied that she was there, she was made very comfortable and very at ease, and the nurses are past excellent. We couldn't say enough about them.
What were the kind of services, Eugene, that particularly impressed you here?
Well, I think really it's more the environment, and it became like a family home. There's a family room, kitchen. You come and go as you please over the number of weeks and months that she was there. We kept vigil by her bedside, and between us all coming and going, and coming and going was never an issue. Timing, middle of the night, daytime, any time that people arrived to visit, there was a family room. You know, the kettle was always on in the family room, and the cup of tea was always there for people that wanted to come and say a few words to her. So it was always a very, very positive environment.
Mm-hmm. Emotionally, you know, it goes without saying that it's one of the toughest times that a family will encounter. Eugene, how is that side of things for you here, and what support did Caracalla provide?
I suppose they provided great support. Father Sean, our local priest, called regularly and was coming in regularly to visit others here, and that was comforting from that point of view. I suppose in the final days and hours, the transition, I suppose, as the treatment got more intensive, that was just handled with such care and invisibility nearly that we didn't even notice, an awful lot of what was going on in the background. And it's not really, it doesn't feel like a hospital, or it doesn't feel like that. That there's extensive care going on. It's more a nice environment and a nice energy around the place. Mm-hmm.
So many people remark on that there's such a sense of light and hope when you come in the doors of Caracalla. That must have meant an awful lot, not just to yourselves, the sons and daughters, but grandchildren, other people coming to see your mum, as you said, in those final days and hours.
Yeah, for sure. And the environment, as we say, you know, you can come to the canteen, you can have a cup of tea if you want to get away for a minute. There's a chapel, you can take a few moments out if you want to do that. There's a family room if people come. They're not necessarily in the room with her. You can manage how people visit, and it doesn't feel in any way like people around a hospital bed.
Mm-hmm. Eugene, after your mum's passing, you've clearly decided to keep the contact and the connection with Caracalla. Why did you decide to do that?
I suppose even before we would never have, and personally for me and my brothers and sisters, we would never have realised that we would have needed it at the service when we did. From my mum and dad's point of view, they were always great supporters of Caracalla and continue to be. My mum would always have done the lotto. Any fundraiser that was on, she would have been giving probably as much as they possibly could to it, and it was always a favourite place of them. And that was because of their history, but also because of, I suppose, all of the history of the family in the involvement here. So I suppose it's for us to keep up that legacy and to support it, but also having experienced it, having experienced the care and the experience of my mother's care here, that we would have nothing but positive things to say and as much encouragement as possible to people to make sure that this facility is maintained for others.
Mm-hmm. And a last question, Eugene, for other families listening who may be at that very early stage of realising that a loved one won't recover and may need hospice care, what would you say to those people?
What I would say is that you really underestimate the level of care you need for someone being that sick. You know, the initial reaction is, oh, you're better off at home, we can do so much, we can look after this person. But the reality is, when it comes down to it, and as it goes, it gets harder and harder to move the person and to make that decision to have the upset of maybe coming from a house at a later date back to a hospice or back to a care environment. And I suppose we would definitely have underestimated before none of us had been through that, and we would have underestimated the amount of care that was needed in the final days and weeks. And for that, while it seems initially a good idea, it's definitely something to be considered.
Eugene, thank you so much for sharing your story with our listeners this morning. It's back to you now in studio, Gavin.
Fiona, thanks very much. We'll have more from Caracalla next. We'll meet one of those who provides that fantastic care.
If it matters to you, let us know. Contact us now, 1850 400 964, or email focus@clare.fm.
Welcome back. Let's go back to Caracalla now, where Fiona is joined by one of the brilliant members of staff there. Fiona.
Thanks very much, Gavin. I'm here in Caracalla and I'm speaking now with Niamh Meir. She's a member of the staff and Niamh is a hospice nurse. Niamh, you might begin by outlining to me, first of all, how many people are using the service currently, the hospice service at Caracalla.
Well, at the moment we have five designated hospice beds in Carcala, and they're all the time. There's a huge demand for the hospice beds. So we're lucky that we do have them because it's a great service for County Clare. So at the moment, that's what we have.
Mm-hmm. Niamh, tell me about the care that the users of those hospice beds would receive here.
Right. Well, first of all, they're referred into us from the home care team, or the GPs might refer them in, or the consultants. And it varies. Sometimes a lot of people, when they hear hospice, they think, oh God, this is there, somebody's coming in to die. But actually, sometimes it's just for respite care for families, because it's quite challenging for families at home when you're taking care of somebody that's terminally ill. Or they might just come in for control of symptoms. They might be just for pain control. And again, they'll go home as well. So just it doesn't mean that's it. You're here to move on to the next world. You're here. There's other reasons. And then there's end-of-life care, which is, of course, the hardest part. So we provide that as best we can. And it's challenging. It's not easy. But it's actually very rewarding. In the end, it's a very specialised area of nursing. You know, some nurses wouldn't dream of doing it, but it's something that, even though it's difficult, but it's to help somebody pass away nice and comfortably with all their families around. That's what makes it rewarding for us, you know. So
you mentioned, Niamh, some of the challenges that families face as well. Typically, what are they? I know there's probably no typical case,
no,
but what are the emotions that people go through?
Oh, I mean, it's so frightening at the start. When you get a terminally ill diagnosis, it's very frightening. For the patient, of course, but also for the families. I mean, they don't know what's ahead when, you know, because there's a lot of their symptoms. Will they be comfortable? And, you know, will they have enough support around them to help them, you know, to be comfortable all the time? So when they come in, families would have a lot of questions that we kind of need to answer. But, you know, we kind of link in with Milford Hospice as well, which is good. We have that backup. We've got palliative care consultants if we need any help with any of our, you know, residents that are here. And we also have social workers and bereavement counsellors as well. So we've all those services too. But I suppose I've had both sides of experience. I looked after my aunt 2 years ago at home. So I've seen it from that side as well. And you see how the family are frightened and scared. But once you explain what's happening to them, then everybody kind of relaxes a little bit. And I was privileged enough, we were honoured enough to keep her at home and look after her at home. But we had nurses in the family, but not every family has that. And that's what makes it really hard. But once they come in here, and the environment is lovely and the staff are excellent in the hospice and there's a good atmosphere, it's not doom and gloom, it's the opposite actually. And that's what's important for the families and for the patient, of course, as well. So,
and yes, of course, Niamh, for the patient themselves, receiving that diagnosis, as you said, it must be incredibly difficult. What kind of supports do you provide around that element of care?
Yeah, well, like I said, we have our social care workers, bereavement counsellors as well from Milford. They'll come up and they'll give that extra support. But like, we've been doing it for so long now ourselves, we're almost nearly as good as them. So it's just to give them reassurance that they're going to be pain-free, they're not going to have any of those symptoms. There's no need now to have symptoms. You can die nice and peacefully. I know that doesn't sound very good, but you can. You know, there's no need to suffer. And I suppose patients would think, oh, they are going to suffer maybe, and, you know, but that's not the case. And that's what we have to try and get out.
Does
there.
Knowing that help somebody come to terms, Niamh, with the fact that they'll pass?
Absolutely. And the fact they can have their family with them all the time. We have a family room here, so families can stay. Mm-hmm. Now they can stay in the family room or they can stay in the room with their relative if they want to. So, and there's no such thing as visiting times. Like, we look after, it's a holistic approach. We look after families as much as we look after the residents. And that's important for the patient as well, like, you know, so. Yeah.
Niamh, you've mentioned that this is a very specialised area of nursing. What was it that led you yourself to pick this particular field?
Well, I actually didn't plan on doing it. I just was, the matron here just asked me to try it out for, you know, a year, I think, at the beginning. And then when I got in on it, that was it. I just thought, like, this is good, even though you've got some bad days, but overall it's very rewarding in the end. You know, it's something that you can, and you still meet families when you're out and about going, oh, you know, you were great and thanks for all you've done. And small things like that make a big difference, you know, kind of makes you feel, well, we're doing a good job, you know, that kind of way. So,
and Niamh, you're dealing with patients facing the end of their lives, but you must learn a lot about life itself.
Oh, God, yeah. It's to make the most of life and live every day. I know that's hard because we're all human beings at the end of it. But, yeah, it is. And you try and help them to kind of do whatever, like they might want to get to a christening or they might want to get to a communion or they might want to attend something. And we'll make sure that if they're well enough that they can get out to do that. So small things like that are important. And it's just make the most of life, live every day, as they say, isn't that it?
Niamh Mear, thank you very much. It's back to you now, Gavin, in studio.
Fiona, thank you. And thanks very much as well to Niamh Mear for that. We will be meeting more people at Cathair Cailleadh next.
If it matters to you, let us know. Contact us now, 1850 400 964 or email focus@clare.fm.
You're welcome back. We're celebrating Ireland's largest coffee morning, which is fundraising for hospices and hospice care right throughout this country. But here in Clare, we are, of course, doing our bit and our best for Cathair Cailleadh Hospice. Fiona McGarry, our Morning Focus producer, is there. Let's go back to her now. Fiona.
Thanks very much, Gavin. Yes, I'm here at the Cathair Cailleadh Hospice coffee morning, and I'm with two of the ladies, in fact, who are behind it all. But I'm first speaking to Mary Maloney. She's the fundraising manager here at Cathair Cailleadh.
Good morning, Fiona, and welcome to Cathair Cailleadh.
Mary, thanks very much. There is a huge buzz here today. There is an awful lot of work behind the scenes, but the coffee morning is something that you have been doing for years and years, and there's actually a very important anniversary today.
There is indeed. This is the 25th anniversary of Hospice Coffee Morning, and we are delighted to be part of it. Huge buzz, and great credit goes to everybody. It's not just one person. It's huge myriad of people all over that have lent a hand. And they might say, oh, I only did that. But all those hands together make it. It's like the circle and all the little pieces in the wheel that join together and that make it. And we started last July talking to the hosts who hosted last year. And first of all, we have to thank Bewley's. A huge, huge thanks to Bewley's, who every year sponsor the coffee for the whole of Ireland. Pallets and pallets and pallets. They give hundreds of thousands of value to the Hospice Coffee Morning, and to Mark Saunders, who's their brand director. We'd Mark here 2 weeks ago. He and several of his colleagues from Bewley's embarked on a cycle. They did 500k. They started in Kerry, they came up to Limerick and to Ennis and on to Galway, on to Tullamore and on to Dublin, did a huge cycle and fundraised and presented us with a cheque here that day. So it starts with Bewley sponsoring the coffee, and then we contact all our wonderful hosts who say yes when they're contacted. And it's that yes that makes all this possible here today and makes having a hospice here and providing the facility here at Cathair Cailleadh possible. We contacted them, as I said, and then the coffee, the big pallet of coffee arrived. Mm-hmm. So you have to decide, you have to get that. Some people might want a jar of coffee or they might want percolator coffee, and different places like hotels and schools have different facilities. So it depends on their needs. That's what we send out then. So we do all the packs up, thanks to Patricia and Nuala in my office who helped me, and all the people who have come in and lent a hand. And thanks especially, we have to say, to the people who deliver the coffee. It just doesn't walk from here to the whole, to up to North Clare, to East Clare, to West Clare. And I have to make special mention to Barry Connellan, who takes up, packs his car with coffee and heads off to West Clare and up to North Clare. To Jim O'Connor, who delivers all around Ennis along with Peggy Kearse, and to Mary Jones, who goes to East Clare, and to everybody, to our own staff here who have brought coffee, to everybody who's lent a hand, I really want to say thanks. It's not me, it's all the people who help. That's what makes Coffee Morning successful.
So Mary, it's not just here in Cathair Cailleadh. There are, as you say, coffee mornings happening the length and breadth of the Banner County and beyond it today. And many of those people have been hosting coffee mornings in parts of Clare for 20 and up to the 25 years too.
Yes, indeed they have. Anywhere there's a kettle and a coffee pot, there's coffee, there's Bewley's coffee in it today. Anywhere, there are schools, there are clubs, there are ICAs, there are hotels, there's everybody that just has come up and put the hand up and said, yes, I'll do it. And we have to be, and say thanks to them. We do appreciate what they've done for us.
So many important services here at Cathair Cailleadh Hospice, Mary, are supported by every single one of those fundraisers and all of the people that help them. Tell me in financial terms what that support means to you here.
It means it's our bread and butter, Fiona. It makes it possible. We start off in January. We plan our year. We have our Sunflower Day in June, and Sunflower is the hospice. The Sunflower is the hospice emblem, and the thought behind that is that the sun gives light, life, and you cherish life until the very end. Then we come along and we have a bed push where all the staff and Mary here, who's here with us, and all our friends help us push a bed around, and people fill our buckets, and that makes it possible. Then we come to September, where we have our coffee morning. Huge, huge, big undertaking. Go on then to, like, we're planning for Christmas already. We've huge, big Christmas fundraising, where we, in conjunction with the Rotary Club of Venice and the Lions Club, and one of our major products, our projects, is the Yellow Ribbon. And of course, as Eugene mentioned, we have our weekly draw, and some of our past residents, patients, have been participants in the weekly draw. And you know, it gives great comfort and great encouragement to us to see that somebody who supported our draw could be cared for us and it's the whole circle again going round. So that is good to see.
On an annual basis, Mary, what kind of funds does it take to keep all of the fabulous services here going?
It takes close on €500,000, and that it wouldn't cover it. You know, the more you, every €2, and I always say, people might say, I only put €2 in, but every €2 counts. And if you think 25 €2 is €50, and 52 euros is 100, like 50 people giving €2, and it's all those €1 and €2 that make a difference. That's what helps.
Mary, as you've said, there are so many people involved in so many ways in supporting Cathair Cailleadh Hospice. It is a place that's very close to the hearts of people in Clare. Can you sum up that sense of what it means to the community?
I suppose I can, and it is the support we receive really makes that true for us, or just enables that to happen. And like, we have a shop, we have a charity shop in town, and to see the support we get for that, people leave in the donations and the volunteers that are down there that help it. Like, when you see the support that gets, that's what makes it happen.
And it's made a difference in so many people's lives. There are so many positive stories about people who have had loved ones use the services here.
It has. And there are days you'd say, how can I keep going? There are days you'd be fit to pull your hair out. But when you meet somebody like Eugene, and you meet a family who passed the door, and you hear somebody is down there, that's what you're doing it for, and that's what helps you to do it, and that's what gives us the encouragement to do it. There are days that are hard, and there are days that you'd say, how am I going to pay for that, or how are we going to get that? And you know, there's always a guardian angel around, and something happens, or you get a brown envelope in the post, like I did last week, with a draft in it. No name, just somebody sent it in and decided, I'm going to help. I don't want any credit for it. And an awful lot of our volunteers don't want glory and don't want to be front of the paper or to be acknowledged for it. They do it quietly, as the nurses and as our nursing staff do it, unobtrusively down in the hospice.
Mary, today is, of course, the main coffee morning day, but it's not too late, I understand, for other people who might be listening and who might decide they'd like to hold a coffee morning maybe over the weekend or over the next week.
No, indeed, it's not. We still have some coffee left from that we got earlier in July. If you'd like to host a coffee morning anytime in the next, up to Christmas or beyond, we will support you and we will provide a pack to you. So just give us a call at 065-68-21966. We'll take your details and we'll get a pack out to you. There are indeed people who have registered already. They're not all happening today. An awful lot of them are happening today. And again, just to say thanks to everybody who has said yes. And indeed, say thanks to all the people who are going to come and support the coffee mornings, because that's what puts the €2 in the box. But as I said, you can still register and we have coffee. So contact us on 065 68 21966.
And Mary, I understand it's obviously not just a coffee morning. People can arrive at almost any time today and take part.
Oh, indeed you can. It's not a coffee morning. It's coffee day. It's coffee event. It can happen in the morning. It can happen in the afternoon. It can happen in the evening. And indeed, it can go on all night if you want.
Mary, thank you very much, Mary Maloney. Mary Howard is also with me, Gavin. And Mary's a hospice hero. She's been recognised and she has a very personal connection, a very close connection with Cathair Cailleadh Hospice. Tell us about that first, Mary.
It's 26 years ago now since my mum came in here, and she was very unwell, and it was quite sudden that she had gotten so sick. and she was in Dublin in the matter, and the decision was taken to move her down here. She was one of the first hospice patients, in fact, and she was along that long corridor. The garden suite was not even thought of back then. I think she was the only hospice patient. And at night time, we used to sleep in cots, which down in the old maternity ward. So it was very, it was very basic, I suppose, really back then. But the care and the attention that she and all of us received was just extraordinary back then. I'll never forget the kindness that we saw and we experienced.
And Mary, you have been dedicating yourself to Cathercalla Hospice ever since then, and you've been acknowledged and recognised, and you're wearing the sash here today for your hospice hero status. But what is it, Mary, that sums up that close connection that so many people have with Cathercalla?
Well, I suppose when we were, as I said, it was a shock when Mam got sick that Christmas. And when the decision was made to move her down here, we didn't even know that there was a hospice facility in Ennis. And I'm one of eight, and seven of the eight of us were born here. So my mother always had very good and positive memories here. And we all did. There was nothing negative. I can remember, as a child running across the green outside up to one of the little balconies to see the new baby, because children weren't allowed in, particularly if the baby was very small. So that we've all got great positive, and she did have lovely memories of it. And when you come in here, just, you're made to feel that you're at home. As I said, back then, it was a very simple facility in comparison to what it is now. But for us, it was the perfect fit. She had no pain. She was very comfortable. And for us, those last few days with Mam was very important to have quality time with her when she wasn't in pain or disturbed in any way, that she was just very restful and very peaceful.
Mm-hmm. And it's made a difference in the lives of so many families like your own, Mary. It's such an intrinsic part of life in Ennis, and it does need a massive amount of funding. You've been very involved in the fundraising. Tell us about some of the activities you've been involved in.
I have been involved, God knows, I don't know, many years at this stage, but everything from at Valentine's we do little candles, Christmas time we do the Christmas cards and the yellow ribbon, the bed push every year is always great fun. I've been involved with the coffee morning the last few years, and just whatever's going on that I will support it and help any which way I can. And I think anybody who has benefited from the hospice system within Ireland will feel the same way, because the reality is that I think one in three of us is going to get cancer. And we don't know how many of us are going to need the care at the end of the day. And my dad also passed away with cancer, but we were able to take care of him at home. But it was still the palliative care that was shown by the hospice nurses. You'll never forget it. There's no question that you can't ask them. They'll hold your hand. They'll walk you through what's going on. They'll explain to you about the meds, why they're being administered, how often they need to be done. You're taken care of as well. And particularly when Mam was in here, the patience that was shown to us, because as I said, I'm one of eight. There was Dad. My mother was one of nine. There was boyfriends, girlfriends, in-laws, outlaws, cousins. So at any given time, there was a bunch of us here. But we were never felt, we never felt that we were in the way or that there's too many of us here. It was just they totally understood that we were here having the last few days with my mother. And it's just the gentleness and the guidance and the care that we were shown, I'll never ever forget. And neither will my siblings, for that matter.
And many people say that, Mary, who have used the hospice service here at Cathercalla, that they got time to be a family again because the caring role is taken over by the hospice staff, so they can see their loved one leave this life as a family. Did you find that?
Absolutely. And as Eugene said earlier, that you forget in those last couple of weeks or months the amount of care that's needed to ensure that the patient is comfortable and that they're not in distress or in pain at any stage. So that does take a lot of work. So it means that, and like that, we did a 24-hour vigil as well with Mam. So there was always two people with her at any stage. So you're allowed that, and you're allowed to be able to do it knowing that she is comfortable and that she is no longer in pain. Mm-hmm. And that was so important to us.
And I can see, Mary, that you still have that very deep personal connection with Mary Maloney here and with the Cathercalla team. And it obviously means an awful lot to you still to this day.
It does. I'll never forget it, as I said. And, every day there's going to be a new family coming through that door. And don't be afraid that you will be taken care of, that you will be shown the most, love and care. And it just, You don't expect it because we're used to hospitals being very fast, efficient, quick places, that there's a lot of stuff going on. In here, it's just at your own pace. And like the new garden wing is superb. It's completely different from what we had at the time. But it's don't be afraid and embrace it, because you'll never forget those last couple of days or weeks. Yeah. And it's important to have that quality time.
Other people often remark, Mary, that death and dying is still so much of a taboo in Irish society that we don't like to think about it, we don't like to prepare. But as you said, you yourself and other families very often will find that it's very sudden that you would need the services here.
It is. My mother got diagnosed just around Christmas time, and just before Christmas, in fact. And it was a shock to all of us. And the same with Dad. His diagnosis came again shortly before Christmas. He always said, though, I'll never let you have another sad Christmas. And he passed away in the spring. But the reality is that it's going to happen. But it does come upon you very quickly. So when the word hospice is mentioned, you know, don't be afraid, embrace it. Because it really is there for a reason, and it does make life an awful lot easier for you and for the patient. So just don't be frightened.
Is it hard, Mary? I know we had this discussion just before we came back and joined Morning Focus. Is it hard when you come up here, the memories that Cathracalla evokes?
Well, when I looked down that corridor to the left, that long corridor where Mam was, and it took me a long time. I remember coming here to a couple of funerals afterwards, because Mam was, her funeral was here in the mortuary. And I cried going in and going out. And I hardly knew the person whose funeral it was. And I say they thought I was very emotional. But it does, of course, show that you will have a strong emotional attachment. And I always do look down the corridor and I think of her. But, that's life, that's reality. And at least, you know, that she, when she passed away, we were all with her and it was very, very peaceful, you know, and I thank God for that. That really is a blessing.
Councillor Mary Howard, thank you so much for sharing your story here this morning. And to fundraising manager Mary Maloney, it's back to you now in studio, Gavin.
Fiona, thank you. And thanks to Mary and Mary as well.